Karma Bank in Milan again.
Yes, we're back in Milan. Yes, in fact, we are back in Milan for one more night, New Year's Eve, and then we're heading back to Paris.
I say Milan only for British listeners.
Yeah. Well, I had some real veal Milanese. Milanese.
Okay, it's New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And we're reporting here from Star Hotels Anderson in Milan.
That's right. We shouldn't give away our location. Because, you know, we're stalking the NSA agents and the CIA and the FBI that are here in Italy and trying to turn them in for the big reward because there's some warrants out for their arrest. Was it CIA or NSA?
The CIA, but we could only afford a cheaper hotel because, you know, American citizens were unwilling to stump up for the cost again. They were like, oh, okay, we don't mind financing torturers and murderers and rapists.
Yeah.
But no. Podcasters? No.
Yeah, how much money did we collect for this trip from our users? I think we collected $10.
$10, 50 cents.
So that took us as far as the coffee shop.
Yeah.
On our first leg of the journey. Mm-hmm. And then we had to underwrite this ourselves.
Exactly.
But we were trying to get a loan from Putin because he's giving away loans now. He's trying mm-hmm. to give the Ukraine a $3 billion loan to help them get through their transition to what is being called the market economy. This is an economy where prices are fixed by aristocrats and autocrats like Putin, and everyone else can suffer in the no man's land of abject poverty. I mean, this is what's happening now in Russia. Russia is reemerging as a dictator, and there's not going to be an America to fight it because America is also going down the path of dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no checks and balances for Russia's rise as a new autocratic society. And,
well, Putin's going to be kind of the polar opposite of Chavez. So Putin is going to be allowed to be a dictator because he's going to give cheap oil to Bush and his cronies and the rich people of America.
Yeah.
Whereas Chavez is working for the poor people and giving them cheap oil.
Yeah. And wherever you see this neo-autocratic imperialistic model back, whether it's in Germany or you see it in Russia or you see it in America, you also see now simmering with the skinheads, you know,
yes.
The neo-Nazis, because remember when Hitler took power, there was already huge dissent amongst the population. There was a huge boiling problem
with
unemployment,
yeah.
And the wealth and income gaps were widened after all the dislocation that came after the military contractors waged war with each other for the quick buck, and then they imposed the cost onto the general public, impoverishing the general public, which give rise to skinheads and neo-Nazis. And in Russia and the Ukraine and these other locations and around the world, these skinheads, the disenfranchised young men with nothing to do and no jobs, whether it's in Baghdad or Ukraine or Germany or Mississippi, they're all being mobilized eventually. So when the economy blows up in the next 18 months and the rich effectively do a runner and they end up on their private island somewhere, on Fisher's Island or off the coast of somewhere, the result will be that the youth, armed to the teeth, will take over in a bout of neo-fascism. And you see it happening right now. This is the stage is being set right now.
So it's all going to look like Somalia.
Yeah, exactly. Somalia is a good model of what is to come. But the stage is being set. In other words, we know that this crash is coming. We know that the rich people are seceding. And we know that they're giving money to the industrial a military complex at the expense of the public domain. All the costs are going to be flipped into the public domain, who will be stuck with the tab. They won't be able to pay it, of course. They'll be in perpetual debt like in Iraq. You know, in Iraq, they can't even get oil. They can't get a gas to fill their car in Iraq, if you're an Iraqi.
With the second largest reserves in the world.
Yeah, because you've got an imperialist running your country,
mm-hmm.
the U.S., and they just straddled Iraq with a huge loan to put them into decades of subjugation by the IMF and the World Bank and the Citigroups of the world. They can't even get a tank of gas in Iraq because the imperial model is already beginning to impose itself on the so-called insurgency. You know, the insurgency is anybody who is against the imperial order. So the insurgency, there's insurgents in America. There's insurgents in Iraq. There's insurgents in Russia, of course. But you already see, the news is already setting the stage for this return of the skinheads and the neo-Nazis because they're already on the march, they're already on the move. they're already the unemployment rate's already starting to move up all over the world as the wealth and income gaps continue to widen.
Well, yeah, even if it doesn't look like unemployment is rising as fast as it should be, it's the wages are going down. And yeah, in a very high inflation environment, even though central bankers claim that inflation is mild, we know if you look at the real numbers that it's about 6 or 7% on top of your wages going down 2 or 3%.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 10% loss every year.
Well, they cook the books. It's not that they cook the books to make it look like inflation is low, but it's really, as you say, up.
Yeah.
In a big way, in an environment where wages are going down,
mm-hmm.
so therefore the poverty is going up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is setting the stage for a massive, confrontation
mm-hmm.
in countries all over the world, including America. Because America has chosen to go down the path of a dictatorial leader instead of a democratic state. In other words, America doesn't feel comfortable enough pushing democratic ideals around the world as the vanguard of the American social system. They don't feel comfortable pushing democracy. They don't think it's tough enough to beat their enemies of America. So they've resorted to dictatorial powers to fight their supposed enemies. And in so doing, the concept of government buying for the people is now,
threatened. Well, of course, because democracy to stand on the world stage and actually talk about it requires subtlety and intelligence and complexity.
Yeah.
And we know that America has adopted intelligent design, i.e. simplicity.
Anything that's complex, it's God.
Yeah.
Anything that's dead simple, like we hate black people, which is the mantra of America,
mm-hmm.
that's intelligent design.
Exactly.
And what was I going to say? The NSA, the Justice Department. Oh, yeah, the New York Times. I mean, the New York Times is, they sat on that story during the election,
mm-hmm.
last year's election, the
mm-hmm.
story of the Bush breaking the law. And grabbing at dictatorial powers in a way that classifies him as an enemy of the people, an enemy of democracy. Puts him, he puts him in bed with Saddam and Pol Pot and any other tyrant in history. You could put George Bush in that list.
Had that come out before the election, do you think it would have inspired more Bible bashers to come out? Or do you think they were already out in full force and that maybe it might have inspired more, comfortable middle-class people to come out?
Well, the loss of democracy in America has happened by degrees because the election in 2000 was down to the wire, and then it tilted toward the fascists at a last-minute Supreme Court ruling in favor of the military contractors. Mm-hmm. Then in the 2004, it was also close with states like Ohio, highly contentious votes there, using the Diebold voting system, which has been shown to be corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the press were doing its job by exposing wrongdoing in government, I'm sure it would have had an effect on the outcome of that election. But the people who run the New York Times, it's a publicly listed company, the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
They're in it for the shareholders and the salaries and the salary boosts. Whoever's running the New York Times is just another one of these corrupt businessmen. They don't have any kind of news in the New York Times that's in any way timely or in keeping with the notion of journalists. You know, when they say all the news is fit to print, yeah, given a year or so, all the news is fit to print, give or take a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's become
like being on holiday in a third world country. Everybody's a third world country now. You only get the news a year later. You know how when you're in a third world country, you don't get the recent newspapers. You get them from a few months before.
Yeah, well, I mean, unless like we were saying earlier in the week, they've got this new hot wire between Washington and Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Washington is selling inside information to Wall Street, as was the case with USG regarding this suit of asbestos.
Mm-hmm.
They told the insiders on Washington, it came out of that guy's office.
Political intelligence.
Yeah, what's his name? Frist.
Frist. Bill
Frist was peddling an inside information directly to Wall Street regarding the liability issues surrounding asbestos and how it affected USG stock. I mean, if you're an insider on Wall Street and you can pay for your cronies in Washington to give you the inside information, sure, you get the information in a timely manner. If you're not, have your nose up the imperial a-hole, you're going to be sucking hind tit and getting news a year later. And all these people knew a year ago, that obviously the New York Times. I'm sure the people in the New York Times are trading on this news on their own stock accounts, their personal stock accounts. I mean, the only saving grace going forward, the only thing we have to look forward to is gold trading at $2,000 an ounce and effectively bankrupting all the fiat currencies in the world, principally America's U.S. dollar. If gold goes to $2,000 an ounce, the U.S. dollar is technically in default. So that's why we are rooting for gold to go to $2,000 an ounce. It's making a nice move. It'll make a nice move again in 2006. It's an ecologically unsound currency, yes, but in a world of leper currencies, gold has the most fingers. As you will find on the front page of karmabank.com, where we monetize dissent and push it back onto the balance sheets of these corrupt crony capitalist Caligula nightmarish friends of George Bush and his corrupt buddies. And, you know, take back the government, take back democracy, because it's basically out of the control of the people now. It's been happening for a while, but never as egregiously as it is now. And we look for pockets of strength, like in Bolivia and Argentina and Venezuela, where the people are starting to have some kind of democratic influence again. Certainly not in Russia. Russia's reverting back to an autocracy, but there's nobody, unless Bolivia goes to war with Russia, there's nobody offering checks and balances to the rise of Putin to back to a despot.
Yes, but, you know, Putin takes over the G8 tomorrow.
Yeah.
And his theme for the year as the head of the G8 is going to be energy security. He's stepping on the world stage and saying, I could be a dictator, of course, because fuck you, I've got the oil. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, I think he's got the biggest natural gas supplies in the world.
Yeah, the largest in the world.
And he's cutting the Ukraine off with a flick of a switch because they had democratic elections.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because the Ukraine, this is interesting because you know how Vietnam, they went into Vietnam to supposedly, on behalf of the Vietnamese to protect them against communism.
Mm-hmm.
Then when America left, mm-hmm. and when they ran with their tails between their legs, and the Vietnamese that they were supposedly helping, they left them out to dry. Mm-hmm. All those Vietnamese were slaughtered
mm-hmm.
unmercifully because they were an ally. They were in bed with America. It's going to be interesting to see now that America was instrumental in this Ukraine Orange Revolution because Ukraine was going to look to America and toward some kind of direction in their fight to get this new guy in office who was going to look to America instead of look to the West instead of the East for direction. Now that Putin, who's a big oil guy and in bed with George Bush, is going to but cut the gas supply off from the Ukraine. Is America going to stand up for Ukraine right now? Okay, I'll bet you $500,000 that America does not stand up for Ukraine in the next 6 months as Putin cuts off their oil supply. I'll make that bet right now. I'm so confident.
He's cutting off the gas supply. Their natural gas supply.
Yeah, whatever the story is, gas, oil, natural resources, it's all the same corrupt, crooked game. Uh-huh. You know, only the prices change. It's the same nonsense. But I'll make that bet right now. America will do nothing to support Ukraine in this battle. Absolutely nothing. Even though they're the ones that caused the trouble by putting themselves, down there on the ground and getting Ukraine in the Orange Revolution and put those people in harm's way. Now they're going to freeze to death because America, of course, is never going to come to help its friend. It never does. It just is in it for only its purest self-interest, and they make a big show of being, we're only self-interested. We follow Ayn Rand and the theory of objectivism and self-interest and greed is good. And if you don't make money quick enough to make us more money, then you're dead. We hate you. You're not part of the team anymore. And Ukraine's going to be left to rot, and there's going to be a lot of damage. It's going to be spun as Ukraine brought it on themselves. America had nothing to do with it. And this is what really galls me about this American foreign policy. It's shameful. It's embarrassing. It's hateful. They're hate spreaders. They spread hate and injustice and economic problems around the world. This is the thing America's been doing for decades, but never under as ugly a dictator as they currently have. And it's never been as important right now for there to be an insurgency in America as it is right now to reestablish democracy in America because it's totally been washed away. The New York Times is a heinous, what do you compare it to? It's just like, who was that woman who made films for Hitler?
Lena Riefenstahl.
This is the New York Times is the Riefenstahl of our day. Putting pretty pictures on what is essentially ugly fascist dictators. Yeah. And they have Thomas L. Friedman in there also writing about stuff that he knows nothing about. He's a complete jackass, Thomas L. Friedman. If you read his stuff, it doesn't make any sense. He's a complete idiot, Happy New Year, Thomas L. Friedman. If he were here right now, I'd punch him in the face.
Satirically.
No, I'd pop him in the face. I think you can do that in this country, can't you?
I think in Italy, yes, you can.
Yeah, come over here. Mano a mano, Friedman, pussy.
Okay, well, You know, if you want to listen to more of Karma Bank Radio for this New Year's Eve, you can go over to resonancefm.com if you're outside of London, of course. Otherwise, you can listen to it live on 104.4 FM at 7 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And we'll be doing our New Year's Eve show from there.
Yeah, let's do our mad show now.
We're going to do our mad show now. And you can also listen to us on yeastradio.com whenever Madge puts us up there.
Yeah, plus we got some other possibilities for distribution coming up in the new year.
Okay.
We got some news coming out on that. We're going global. We have the voice of the insurrection. This is Radio Free Karma Bank. This is the voice of the insurrection. Beat back the imperial dogs. Okay, we're going to organize it. We're going to support it. We're going to do it nonviolently at first.
Okay, bye. Happy New Year, whatever that means.